The following presentation is brought to you by The Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride.
Monarch Nation, the monarchists are back with a special guest, Dr. Pat Baker, the 28th recipient of the Bud Matheny Award, a longtime volunteer for Old Dominion Athletics and Old Dominion Athletic Foundation. He's done a little bit of everything for this school, and he's not even an alum. So we're really proud to have him on here because he reminds me a little bit of Aaron. Okay. So welcome to the show, Pat. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Looking forward to this since I got the call, I got the text.
Yes, so I was lucky enough to be put in touch with you by your son, Robert. He's very proud of all you've done for over the years for Old Dominion, and as he should be. But let's start at the beginning. So you're a Norfolk kid. You play baseball. You end up playing for Bud Matheny as a freshman. Talk to us about that experience playing for Bud.
Well, let me talk to you about the William & Mary ODU connection for a second first. I'm not sure whether you're aware of it, but Scrap Chandler, who was the swimming coach at the Norfolk division, was a track coach at William & Mary in the 30s and 40s. My dad was on the track team along with Lou Plummer, who was the track coach at ODU, was a fraternity brother of Bud Matheny, and was coached by Scrap Chandler. When you went, and then Scrap Chandler in the summertime had these swimming lessons that almost all the West End and Norfolk learned how to swim at ODU. On Friday, your parents could come and watch. Dad would come watch me swim, come out, and the corridor at the exit of the pool was where Bud and Lou and Scrap had their offices. And so we would leave 1963. We would leave swimming lessons, and they would have a William & Mary reunion. So it's the lines of togetherness go deep and long. I figured I started watching and cheering for the first team was probably baseball, 63, 65, playing Little League. Dad would take the kids to the ODU baseball game either Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Enjoyed that, certainly. The field is not there, but there is a large tree behind the left field home run fence that a guy hit one off of me my freshman year, and that is still there. And I still think of that tree and that baseball every time I drive by there.
So we know that you played your freshman year for Bud at Old Dominion before going to William & Mary. Can you share some stories about that first year and maybe kind of what it was like back then playing at Old Dominion, where you played, what it was like, and so forth?
You know, it was like a dream come true for me, because when I was 8, 9, and 10, 11, 12, coming and watching the ODU, I never told anybody, but the only thing I wanted to do in life at that age was play baseball for ODU. And I never thought I was good enough to do it. And I was going to go to VMI. Dad didn't want me to go there. He had a talk with Bud. Dad took me to Bud's house, and he says, "I'd like you to play at ODU." And I said, "Well, I've died and gone to heaven." And so tried out in the fall, made the team in the spring. Never once did I think that I wasn't being treated just like a New York Yankee. He treated the entire team as if they were his All-American. And it was athletically, it was probably one of the highlights of my life, no question. And Coach Matheny was a dramatic part of that.
Now, we've heard a lot of stories about Bud and the field back then. You were telling us before we started about the situation of how the stadium was after it rained.
It was awful. The kids in the neighborhood would ride their bikes on the infield, and we had a dirt infield. And there, Coach Matheny and a couple other people would be out there raking out the divots before games. And the pitcher's mound was just never. I mean, I'm not even sure the first day of practice it was in any good shape. It constantly had about a 6-inch layer of dust. So you think you're going to land, and you got 6 more inches to go, and it was. But again, you know, Norfolk Academy wasn't much. It wasn't any better, but it was. The baseball fields today are just no comparison to what we had to play on.
So, obviously, you've got a lot of things to be able to compare to. I mean, growing up playing baseball in those particular conditions, then you were around Old Dominion for many years. We'll get into that of your volunteer time and so forth. What was kind of the day in the life for a college baseball player at that time compared to what you might see today?
The only thing that we got were sanitary hoses. We got pitchers got hats. Everybody else had to wear a helmet. There was no talk about getting gloves or shoes or anything else. And so you pretty much, whatever you wanted to play with, you had to buy. I can't remember. I would imagine maybe ODU supplied the bats, but no gloves, no shoes. So you had a certain limitation. Coach would want to take his finger and run his finger around your collar and around your ear. So, and he was not supposed to touch any hair. So you got 1963 or 1973, 74, everybody's growing long hair except the ROTC and the baseball team. But again, that was one of the signs of victory. You're told to get your hair cut, you made the team. So, I mean, that was pretty cool.
All right, I don't want to skip too forward, but obviously you transfer to William & Mary and you get your bachelor's degree there, leading you to going to dental school.
Right.
When you end up back in Norfolk, how long before you start trying to get involved with Old Dominion Athletics again?
You know, it's interesting. We went, my friend of mine, Bobby Garris, who's a lifelong friend I met at an ODU basketball camp when we were in eighth grade. We went to see Kevin Beers pitch against Norfolk State. And after the game, I went up to Coach Newman. I was back in the area, been back for about 9 months. And I said, is anything I can do for you? I'm there, fundraising, whatever. I've got plenty of time. He was very appreciative. I would say a week later, 2 weeks later, the manager on the baseball team was in center field with a fence, shagging, getting balls from the outfielders. Pat Rossler was hitting fungos to the outfield. And John Kolmansberger was in front of or behind the cage. Pat mishit one. John Kolmansberger came out from the cage, got hit square in the mouth. And so it was about 5 o'clock. I was working nights. I get a phone call from Mark. And I said, just bring him on in. And literally Pat Rossler and Jim Bagnall carried John into my office. He had some extensive injuries. Took a while for us to get him back to where he wanted to be. Mark was extremely appreciative. And if you knew Mark Newman, he was very persuasive. And he was so impressed with how quickly I took him in that he went to Marty Bradley and said, Marty, any baseball player gets hurt, Pat's going to see him. And so with that, I went to my staff and I said, listen, if we get an athlete from Old Dominion with an injury, we're going to see them right away. And if we can't see them right away, I'll go over to the training office on the way home from work. And so what that did was it's very easy for me as a dentist to evaluate somebody. It takes 2 or 3 minutes. What it did for them is it gave them the information they needed for the next 4 or 5 days instantaneously. And that relationship with Marty and Scott Johnson and all the others developed and became very, very, very strong and got to the point where, you know, they would call me up, say, we got 2 kids we want you to see. based on what they wanted me to look at. I could say, we'll meet you at the training room at 6 o'clock or come into the office now. Tell you a funny story. The day that it was announced in the paper that I got the Matheny Award, this is like 2005. So it's about 10, 11 years after that accident. I get up about 6 o'clock in the morning. My kids are sleeping. My wife's still asleep. Phone rings. 6 o'clock in the morning is John Kolmansberger calling me to congratulate me. He's living then in New York, and he remembers what I did 10 years ago and was wanted to be the first one of the first ones to congratulate me, which I can tell you. Talk about feeling like you're the man on the moon. It was something else.
So trying to do a little bit of research on the front end, but there's not a whole lot that I know. I know that you volunteered for about 20 years on the Old Dominion Athletic Medical Staff. What kind of things did you do? Like, what were some of the different, I'm sure over 20 years, you did a bunch of different things and it changed from time to time.
It was pretty much same kind of injuries. I mean, basically you're looking for bad hops, a play at second base, play at home where the ball, the opposition and your guy is colliding all at the same time. I don't think we really had anything that was unusual. We had a field hockey player that knocked a tooth out, and we put it back in, and to this day it's still there. So I mean, that was kind of unusual. The kids come, baseball players, pretty much all the athletes over the 20 years, their dental health was tremendously improved. So we're out there, we're working, and it's proving to be successful. So what started out as taking out bad teeth became filling good teeth, and which then became not filling teeth, but going over home care and hygiene. So what started out as medical needs and injury needs evolved to medical need or injury needs only. Kids in pretty good, real good shape. Yep.
So you started working with Old Dominion in the 80s. At this time, was this a common thing around Division I colleges?
I don't know. I just thought it was. I thought it'd be kind of cool to. When I was at East Carolina in my residency, we did the football team, and I thought it was kind of cool that you got people that have dental needs, but for the most part, they're really healthy. And to work on a population of healthy individuals was a little different than a regular dental practice. And it was something that I really enjoyed. And Carrie, we started the dugout club with Herbie Tremere and Pete Kilty and Alan Price. So that was a support group for the baseball team at Mark Newman's request. So it was not dental, but dental allowed that to happen. We, Blaine Taylor, Jeff Capel, Wendy Larry would let me bring my little community league basketball teams into their practice. And we stayed at practice, watched the whole thing, even were included in layup lines. And you don't hear about that kind of stuff in the newspaper. ODU, for my 40 years, has been populated by good people, good coaches, good players, good kids. The kinds of kids that Clarice Matsunguana came and played basketball in our backyard with my two boys. We had Tisha Panichero went to a practice for my little kids, and then went to Dumars with us. And I mean, you don't hear about stuff like that. And that's the kind of stuff that ODU had Danielle Chalou babysat for us. Just stuff that makes you feel good.
So I'm glad you said that because, I mean, obviously me and Aaron haven't been doing this as long as you were giving to Old Dominion and volunteering with Old Dominion. But the fact that two guys that aren't really connected to anyone inside of the program can start a podcast and some fundraisers, and a couple years later, we're doing shows with coaches that have treated us like we do belong is evidence of exactly what you're saying. I'm always in awe of how the how good the people are at Old Dominion. So
you know, you give them a chance, and their chance is to prove to you how nice they are. And they're over 40 years. There've been maybe one or two coaches, probably just one. And that coach wasn't there very long. We have got a identity in this community that's not very well developed, or could be better developed, and should be developed, because they're good kids, and they're a lot of fun to be around.
So you mentioned the Dugout Club. Talk to us a little bit more about that, because obviously Old Dominion baseball has continued to evolve, and the support for that. But this sounds like one of the earliest, if not the earliest, kind of alumni fan support structures for the program.
There was, there have been so many rules that you've had to adjust to. You know, early on, I was allowed to write letters to prospective baseball players that wanted to go to dental school. And then NCAA said, you can't do that. The Dugout Club was designed to do everything from go to games and cheer for ODU, to putting a hand on a shoulder of a parent that is thinking about sending their son to ODU to play baseball. And over we were active for about 5 or 6 years. Over that time, we had different priorities, and sometimes those priorities changed because of rule changes with the NCAA and to be compliant. We had with the ODU Baseball Clinic, Pat McMahon and I were trying, we had a tremendous clinic. We had, I think, car dealerships and retail outlets for our main sponsors, and that just kind of went away. And so we needed to develop a new base for fundraising. And we did that. And Eddie Frame gave us parameters that we could ask somebody for $5,000. We weren't allowed to ask for any more. And we had to get permission before we talked to him. So Luke Newman was a good friend of mine. He was, I think, the 2004 winner of the Matheny Award. He was at the office and we were talking, and he says, you know, I would really like to do something for youth athletics. I said, Luke, I got the perfect thing. You can be the Luke Newman sponsor of the ODU Baseball Clinic. And he goes, that'd be a great idea. How much can I give you? Or how much is this going to cost? I said, Luke, I think we're talking about $20,000, which was a lot of money back then. And Alan Cranston was on TV the week before. He was the best fundraiser in Congress. And basically what he said was, if you ask somebody for too little an amount, they get offended because they think you're not successful. If you ask them for something more than you think they can afford, there's no problem. That means that you think they're successful, so nobody gets embarrassed. So Pat and I worked it out that I was going to ask him for 20, and we knew he was going to say no, and then go to 10, and then end up at 5. And so I go into the room and I said, Luke, $20,000, I think it will do the trick. Well, Luke, instead of saying, nah, that's too much, he goes, that's perfect. So I say, listen, I got to go. I'll be right back. I go into my office, call Pat McMahon. I said, we're in trouble. And he goes, what's wrong? And I told him, I said, I asked him for 20. He goes, and he went down to 10. I said, no, he accepted 20. He goes, oh, no, what are we going to do now? We got to call Coach Frame. And so we went from there to a very sophisticated fundraising situation. Luke Newman was a dedicated supporter of youth athletics, and he enjoyed the main sponsorship of the baseball clinic for many years, and culminated with the Matheny Award.
Well, Pat, thank you. Mike, we just got schooled in asking for support for the programs that we're trying to raise money for. We got to ask for more, clearly.
Exactly. you'll never be looked down upon. Just don't ask for too little.
Yeah, we've always kind of looked at it as we could do a lot more with a lot of numbers. So we've always asked for little amounts, big volumes, because it feels more attainable.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get somebody in the fold, and they all of a sudden they realize this is a pretty neat fold to be in. Again, because the coaches are the way they are, the players are the way they are, and we happen to win games, which obviously is the biggest thing you can do as a fundraiser. If you can guarantee that we're going to win 99% of our games, certainly that plays a part.
So you've obviously been a fan as well as a volunteer and mm-hmm. fundraiser, and you've been watching Old Dominion Athletics longer than I've been alive. So, and considering that, great ODU women's basketball teams, amazing baseball players throughout the years, amazing basketball players. Has there been a certain athlete that you enjoyed the most out of anyone to watch?
Well, certainly Tisha, certainly Clarice. Odell Hodge was one of my favorites. Odell Hodge, I had a basketball clinic at Norfolk Collegiate that I ran for about 15 years, and Odell Hodge was probably we had several ODU players come over the years, and Odell was by far the most popular. I don't have one that I didn't like, and I don't really have one that I did like above the rest, because the rest were just so good. You know, it wasn't, Clarice was just all bubbly. Tisha was looking for the next challenge. Justin Verlander was challenging whatever came in front of him. We've had some great athletes to watch.
So we're going to come back to Old Dominion, but there's a lot of folks that are from the area that grew up and played baseball here in the local area. And you were a big part of helping youth baseball, particularly on the west side of Norfolk and Fleet Park. But talk a little bit about kind of why you got involved there, the evolution of that, and kind of how that played out with local kids playing ball in this area.
You know, you had a combination of kids that wanted to play baseball as far as they could play. Ben Morris is an example. Kids whose dads wanted them to play and go far, and could also get along with their kid. Kids whose dads wanted to go play far and didn't get along. But you had this group of parents that had bought into the program, and you had kids dragging their parents out the door. And when your kid is dragging you out the door to go to practice, you know that you need to support that. We had a guy that had an upholstery business turn his warehouse into a batting cage so that we could bat year round. We had a joint venture. Sandy Harris did a tremendous job fundraising. Paul Frame was involved. We had in essence, Naval Base Little League did a lot of the white collar work for Naval Base Little League's parents did a lot of the white collar work. Ward's Corner Little League's parents did a lot of the blue collar work. And the thing that people don't understand necessarily is you had to have both. It was just as important to have the blue collar component as it was to have somebody pay for the uniform. Steve Ballard figured a way to get the old Met Park bleachers to Naval Base Little League. So we just got support from all kinds of different directions. And we had kids that loved to play.
Well, that's the most important part of it, right? You have to make sure the kids are enjoying themselves and love the game.
Exactly.
But absolutely. Pat, looking at your all you've done, I'm just kind of amazed at your time management skills. Because obviously you had your own dental practice that you were managing. You had a family to take care of. You did the baseball clinic. You did the dugout club. You did ODAF, you did the Fleet Park stuff, and then you were on top of that, you were volunteering as on medical staff. Did you ever have time to just relax?
Well, you know, you you have a situation like that, you got to have a partner. And for me, that was my wife, Ann Marshall. She did so many things that I didn't do. And it wasn't I couldn't do them, I just didn't do them. And so she took up the slack. And if it weren't for her, some of that stuff wouldn't have happened. It's, you know, it's a journey of love. This is what my dad did for me. This is what I expect my kids are doing right now for their kids. And this is what I was doing for my kids. To see a kid get his first hit, to see a kid catch his first baseball, see that look in their eyes. I mean, that's priceless. I felt sorry for the parents that didn't come out to see that.
All right. So you've been around Old Dominion for a long time. You had your dentistry practice for a long time, and it's a leading people, having a common mission, both in the workforce and then seeing at Old Dominion and playing sports. Do you have a handful of players that you saw over the years? They might even not be the big names that folks have heard, but you kind of watching from afar and seeing that the best teammates or the best leaders that maybe had been unsung that really you appreciated having been able to be involved so much with them?
You know, probably once a week, I'll be at dinner somewhere or just at the hardware store and somebody will tap me on the shoulder. And the only real difference between now and then is I'm looking up at them instead of looking down at them. But they'll say, "Coach, how you doing?" And we'll have a little conversation. And, you know, the fact that they made the effort to come over and say hi is priceless. And I get that a lot, and I enjoy every second of it.
All right. So right now, construction of the Bud is underway, or the Dennis Elmer family, or the Elmer family complex, I guess is what it's called now. But you were around when the original Bud opened.
Yeah.
Transitioning from Larchmont Field to the Bud. What was the excitement back then for that to open?
You know, the thing of it is, if you remember, we were the first, when we built that building, we were the first team in Virginia to have big time camps. And we had big time teams coming. We had Miami come in for a 3-game series because we had one of the best facilities on the East Coast. And, you know, I guess what you do is you look at a structure and you think, it's normally going to have about a 20-year life cycle. Well, this one's been 40 years, and it's in so much need. I mean, you know, you think about it. We lose to Virginia and South Carolina. They've got to beat us twice. And if we're playing in Norfolk, you think that's going to happen? I don't. I think we're going to the World Series for the first time. Fortunately, our administrative hierarchy sees that need and has supported this effort to build something that we can now host a tournament. And if we can host a tournament, we can recruit better. And if we recruit better, we win more games. And I'm just very, very proud of the administration for what they're doing for us. And also very happy because it'll be the first time in March that I'll watch a game. I'm going to be inside. And so I'll watch a game and not freeze my you-know-what off.
Mike and I have talked about that many times because I think we've signed those deals where agreements for teams from the Northeast to come down and play us early in the season. I think they're expecting warm weather. But
yeah.
That first month and a half oftentimes is pretty chilly.
It could be chilly in April too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Pat.
Princeton, I think, plays 9 home games. The rest of the games are away.
Is there a place in the old Bud that was your favorite place to watch a game from?
I always sit behind home plate. I like to watch the spin. I like to watch the, you know, where the catcher lines up, whether the pitcher is throwing to the catcher or is, you know, where is the ball? Is the ball above his waist? The batter's waist, is it below? Is it in the same spot the catcher's glove is? I just like sitting there, and there's a group of us that sit there behind him, Wayne Parks, Hervey Tremere, Dickie Frame.
So you mentioned Hervey. I know him from his emails.
Hervey, he is a grand master. He's
an ODU baseball historian.
He is, and he's dedicated. I paid for several Hawaiian vacations out of his football pool. I think he housed a couple of baseball players early on. But, I mean, how could you have anybody? The alumni of the year is every year, year in, year out, is Hervey, because he does such a good job. And he volunteers it.
So I was going to ask, obviously you guys have been working together to support Old Dominion Baseball since the 80s. What's it like to have a friend like that for that long aside you trying to do the same thing? Like, you guys are going towards that same goal for 40 years.
It's part of the ODU magic. Would Hervey and I have been friends if it hadn't been from ODU? I don't know. I mean, hopefully we would, but he attracts me. I attract him because of what we do for ODU. And Pete Kilty, same way. Dickie Frame. I mean, Wayne Parks. I mean, they're good people. And if you ask them for a favor, they're going to help you. And the favor is in the best interest of ODU.
I love how this conversation came back to this part, Pat. Mike and I talk about this a lot. I know Mike has often said that Old Dominion is a big school, but it feels very small. If you want to get involved, it's very easy to get involved. And just talking about the special people that are in your lives, I was in the Navy and I went away and I came back home, but I really didn't have any friends from my early childhood. All my Navy friends are other places. So all the people that I've met at Old Dominion, they're all my close friends now. So Mike and Gary and CB and David and Harry McBrien, the guys that help us do all of this stuff in the Old Dominion community, it really is a special place. Even though I didn't graduate from Old Dominion, everybody makes me feel like I'm part of that family. Scott, I can totally relate to what you're just saying.
Well, you're right. It's I graduated from William & Mary, and I love William & Mary. But if we go to an ODU William & Mary game, I sit behind the ODU bench. That's just, I've been on the team for 40 years. I was only on William & Mary's team for 4. So and you're right. You know, the one thing, too, to keep in mind is not only ODU relatively small, it's very, very young. So it doesn't have the volume of old alumni to give back to the school. And that day will come. And when that day comes, we will have more fun. You guys will have more busyness to call these people that are potential big-time donors.
Well, you've accomplished something that me and Aaron have set our goal for in like maybe 20, 30 years. We would like to join you as Bud Matheny Award winners, but we have a long way to go and a lot of work to do. But you mentioned that South Carolina game, that how close we were to going to the World Series.
Yeah.
That was the game that kind of started this.
Yeah.
We spent dollars for dingers that first year, and it kind of took off because so many ODU fans saw the need for support of Old Dominion Baseball in a time where they were excelling in a facility that had long past its prime.
Right.
So you inspire us, and knowing your story now, knowing a little bit more about it, gets us to keep going and push harder in the future. So thank you, Pat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's like weightlifting. You do it every day or every other day, and you keep at it, and you don't do a turn and stop doing weightlifting because of a fad. Or any other reason, you just keep at it. Well, same thing with what you're doing and what I was doing, is you keep making phone calls, you keep going to games, you keep freezing your butt off, but next day will be warmer, next day will be better, next year will be really warm. It all comes together. I think Chris has done a hell of a job this year, having no home games, doing the best he can, and it certainly has got to hurt recruiting wise to have a situation like we had last year. But that's the hump that we had to go over to get to where we want to become January, February of 2026.
He's got to be licking his chops though of now moving forward. He's got the facilities. There's never been a question with regards to coaching and the staff and the environment and the culture of the program, but any of us who have walked into that facility in the last 5-10 years, I think we're all amazed at what he's been able to do with what he's had.
Absolutely. He's a genuinely nice guy. He's a dedicated baseball coach. He's dedicated to winning with certain constraints. He's not going to cheat or do anything crazy. And he's going to teach kids not only baseball skills, but life skills. And he surrounds himself with good people, and it shows. And so you give him a baseball stadium that's par, maybe not even above par. It's going to be above par, but give him something other than what he had last year. He's going to be successful.
Yeah, I got to think for the players, it'll be a net positive as well, because they're going to feel more at home, more welcome, and more supported by the fans with a nicer stadium.
And, you know, the other thing, that we're starting to see some major leaguers from ODU. And that major league success at some point in time will spin off to benefit the ODU baseball program.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun watching the Royals lately, especially with an Old Dominion guy as the manager and Benny first.
Have you met Matt?
I have not had the pleasure to meet Matt yet.
You need to. He is a class act. He really is top drawer. And then we get the pitcher for the Yankees that's doing well.
Yeah, and then we've had all these guys going to the Red Sox lately, which is a big shift because
the
prior 5 years, it was all Cubs.
Yeah, so exactly. That's Billy Swope's influence.
Yes, sir. And we have had the pleasure to talk to Billy a couple times on the show. He is a character.
We played Little League together.
Okay.
He was our left fielder.
How good was he?
He was good. He was good. My junior year in high school, we beat Catholic for the TCIS championship. Next year, and then Catholic was coached by Tony Zontini. Next year, Tony Guzzo coached the Catholic team. And they beat us 17-3. And Tony was telling me, when Tony got the job, I went over, it was a Monday night, I went over and told him, Marshall, I'm going to go say, congratulate Tony, and I'll be back for dinner. I got in his office and we started talking about the 73 championship. I didn't get home till 4 o'clock the next morning. We talked baseball for 10 hours. And that was Tony.
Well, if that happened these days and your wife happened to be in the car, you'd end up starting a podcast. That's exactly what happened to us.
Perfect. Perfect. So how long have y'all been doing this?
I'll let Aaron handle that one.
Our first podcast was in March of 2022. And true story, like I was saying, we had gone to Wake Forest for a football game, Old Dominion football game. And Mike and I taught Old Dominion sports for six, 8 hours in the car. And finally, his wife, Lauren, was like, you guys just need to start a podcast. So we looked at each other and we said, okay, why not? And that's kind of the beginning of it. We did our first podcast. We had AJ Oliver from the men's basketball team on. If anyone has not listened to that, don't go all the way back and listen, because we were feeling our way through and learning things. And now we've probably had 150 to 175 podcasts since then. And We started out doing just individual student athletes, alumni, and coaches. We've ticked off a number of people on our bucket list. We still have a long bucket list, but you know, we've had Jay Harris and Nancy Lieberman and just about every current coach. And so we've had a ton of fun doing it. We've expanded to, it's not just me and Mike, and Gary was doing football with us. And now 2 years ago, being around, I'm sure you know CB Wilkins, being around the baseball. So Gary and CB started doing a baseball one. And then this year, Finney decided that he was, I'll say he was going to retire from his show. I don't know if he did permanently, but retired from his because he wanted to come on our show with Gary and CB. And it just kind of taken off where we do this, the website. We're trying to raise as much money for our athletic programs as we can. I think it's way bigger than Mike and I ever envisioned. And because that's happened, all the two of us and all the folks that we collaborate with, I think we see the opportunity that it can get so much bigger. If we've been able to do this much in just 3 years, who knows what we can do in the next 3 years, the next 10 years. And it's super exciting.
You know, you mentioned AJ Oliver. When I would go over to the training room, if I had a chance to go by the house first and take one of my kids, I would try to bring one of my kids. One, to just let them know kind of what I did it for a living, but also to let them know that, you know, you can feel good taking care of somebody. It's very rewarding. AJ Oliver was the last athlete that I saw over at the Chartway that I brought a child, and this was my grandchild. So I've taken my three kids and my oldest grandchild to take care of an ODU athlete, and that's very special to me.
That's kind of cool that AJ was your last and he was our first.
It is. It's kind of neat.
And to tie it all together, to get AJ on the show, we went and watched a baseball game with him in Rally Alley in a cold early spring game.
You gotta have three or four or five layers.
It was so cold.
Man, you gotta protect your feet and your fingers.
Yeah, I want to thank you again for all you've done for Old Dominion Athletics. You are going to serve as an inspiration for me and Aaron moving forward, as a volunteer, as a fundraiser. Giving back is something that we all should do, and I hope it inspires some people to give back to whatever they care about that are watching this today. So thank you, Pat. Keep wanting to call you doctor, but thank you, Pat.
Call me Pat, call me Doc, whatever you want to call me. It's fine.
Well, we can't wait to see you at the new stadium this year and watch a game with you.
That'd be wonderful. That'd be fantastic. Look forward to meeting you and shaking your hand.
All right. Well, thanks again for all you've done for Old Dominion Athletics. And thanks for joining us today. Go Monarchs.
Thanks for what y'all do. Thank you so much.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.